Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Since we are talking about Isma and being immune from committing sin or mistake, in other words, being infallible, and these are the prophets and messengers, one very important question comes to our mind. And that is, are the infallible ones, the masumeen, and in case of the prophets, we are talking the masum prophet, are they able to commit sin and they don't? Or they are unable, they are made in a way, they are designed in a way that they cannot commit a sin? So, the question is that if you choose, or if somebody believes that they are designed in a way that, like any machine, that there is no way that it mistakes or does something wrong or gives the wrong calculation, that's machine, then if the Prophet is like the machine, that made and designed in a way that's not able to commit any sin or to go wrong, so what is the honor, what is the privilege, what is distinctive about them? Because they are not able to commit sin, so the door is closed, they can't do that. So how can you describe them to do or to be of privilege of being guides and role models? The correct answer is they are able, but they don't do it. Let us have some examples from our lives. If there is a bottle of poison in front of me, as simple as that, there is a bottle of poison in front of me. I know that poison is putting an end to my life, will kill me in few minutes or 3 hours' time. Depends on how strong is that poison. Am I able to extend my hand and take that poison from the bottle and consume it or not? Of course I am. But shall I do it? The answer, of course not. So I am able to consume the poison, but I wouldn't do it because I know the consequences. I know the fatal effect and impact of poison on my body. Two prophets committing sin and even getting close to disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like extending the hand to the bottle of poison. They knew that for their spiritual entity, for their spiritual values, for the characteristics which entitle them to be guides to the community, to the mankind, it is damaging if they do any mistake or commit any sin. And the other example, of course, is that sometimes, okay, for the poison, see that though those who want to commit suicide, they do it. It is said that in Switzerland there is a special clinic for those who want to commit suicide. For those who want to commit euthanasia, then that is the mercy and kind killing or death. They go there, they pay money, and first they are given some liquid or something as very, very light, just in case, leaving the possibility of, if they change their mind, okay, there is a way to cure them. But if they go ahead, they give them the stronger one, and they go ahead with it. And that's the end of it. So everybody is able to do it, but 99.99% of people don't do it because they are familiar and aware of the repercussions, the consequences. The same applies to people who, in the normal way, do not eat the flesh of their fellow human being. Although they are able to do it, but they don't. The civilized, at least, people, they don't do it. But imagine that when they are stuck somewhere, for example, when there is lack of food, and we've seen examples of some reports to say that, yes, in the end, after 30 days or 40 days of hunger, they had no other choice but to feed themselves on the flesh of the, what, fellow dead person who was a colleague of them for this journey. So they are able to do it, but they don't normally do it. This exception of special circumstances does not apply to them. And let's see how Imam Ali alayhi salam describes that, although in this way, a prophet or imam both share the same category of isma and infallibility. Imam Ali alayhi salam says that, wallahi, لو أعطيت الأقاليم السبعة بما تحت أفلاكها على أن أعصي الله في نملة أسلبها جلب شعيرة ما فعلت. That supposedly I'm giving the ownership of all the solar system, all the planets, for disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even this slight one. This slight one that I take a grain from an ant and cause damage to that ant, I'm not going to do that. So, if these people are so observing of their duty towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are not going to negotiate or follow their own desires and natural urges, they are in full obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means that they are not going to negotiate or do anything in this way. Now, let's conclude that the answer to this question is that the prophets are able, and the path towards disobedience is not blocked. They are able to commit sin like any other person, but they don't, because they know the impact of sinning is so bad and so filthy that they even don't dare think of it. And that is the real meaning of isma, or infallibility of the prophets. We said that the prophets are masoom, are immune from error and mistake, from sinning. But there are certain ayat in the Quran talking about certain prophets who apparently the wording of the Quran proves or indicates that they done something wrong. In this part of our discussion, I will stick only to two personalities. One, the Prophet Adam alayhi salam, and the second one to Prophet Yunus alayhi salam. For Prophet Adam alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَصَى آدَمُ رَبَّهُ فَغَوَى. There are some scholars, unfortunately, even from within the Imamiyya circle, who claim that this ayah is clear, وَعَصَى آدَمُ رَبَّهُ فَغَوَى, that Adam disobeyed his Lord and he went astray. So it's clear for those people who refer to this ayah that the Prophet Adam alayhi salam committed a sin, disobedience. Why do you say that the prophets are immune from erring or committing sin? Before we answer that question, let's see, was this when after fall or coming to this worldly life or before the fall? The ayah speaks about the paradise, not the paradise which we are promised to have as a reward for our actions. Why? For a simple reason. That before the fall, when Adam and Eve were in the celestial being and sphere, they were not sent down yet. There was no taklif. There was no shara. There was no law. There was nothing as lawful or unlawful. There was nothing as obedience or disobedience. So in that period of time, before Hubut, before the fall, there was no taklif. There was no risala. And after that, it was Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was talking to the angels that my will is, I decided to appoint a vicegerent on earth, and this was before the fall. So, before that, Adam and Eve, they used to live in the garden, and whatever, la taqraba hadhi shajara, don't come close to this particular tree, but they were somehow were urged or were deceived to eat from that particular tree, whether it is the apple or wheat or whatever, doesn't matter. They disobeyed in this sense that there was no order or command as needed for Sharia. There was no accountability. There was no lawful and unlawful thing at all that time. So if they have done that, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them not to go, وَلَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِي الشَّجَرَةِ, don't go closer to this tree or consume from its fruit, whatever that fruit was? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted them to come to earth, to physical and materialistic life. And for materialistic life, something was needed, that they descend, they fall. Otherwise, they would remain in that garden and that bliss forever. So that everlasting bliss will continue, but this is against the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they must fall, they must come down. So, in other words, it was needed for this descent and coming to the materialistic being, the physical world, they needed to touch and go close to that particular tree or eat from its fruit. Otherwise, they would remain there and no one would come down to be vicegerent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth. So I think this will clarify the question that asa does mean disobeyed or not. Of course not, because isyan, disobedience, is only to the commands or prohibitions in this life and this materialistic life after the fall. And this talking about something happened before that. So it was better for them to remain in that time where أنك لا تجوع فيها ولا تعرى ولا تضمأ فيها ولا تضحى. Because in that spiritual sphere and being, no hunger, no thirst, no one feels a need for clothing or feel tired, need a rest, because all these are related to the bodily requirement. And there it wasn't like that. This is for the first question and first example. And the second is about Yunus alayhi salam. We read normally in Salat al-Wafayla, وَذَنُّونِي إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا فَظَنَّ أَنْ لَنْ نَقْدِرْ عَلَيْهِ فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. So, Yunus alayhi salam was advising his and continued to advise his community for a long, long time. No one listened to him. Then, وَذَنُّونِي إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا. So he left everything angry, went to the shore of the sea, and this led to whatever you know all, that the sea was on the verge of sinking, the ship was in the verge of sinking, and that solution was only to reduce from the weight of the ship by throwing some of the passengers or goods in the sea, and this was to become lighter and protected from being damaged. So this happened to Yunus alayhi salam. Some people translate this لَن نَقْدِرْ عَلَيْهِ, which means that we don't have power over him. And this is the wrong translation. We don't have power over him. No prophet believes in that, Yunus or anyone else. Here, another ayah in the Quran explains the meaning of naqdir. وَمَنْ قُدِرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقُهُ فَلْيُنْفِقْ مِمَّا آتَاهُ اللَّهِ لِيُنْفِقْ ذُو سَعْتٍ مِمَّا. And this is about the maintenance, that every person, every head of the family must protect and maintain his family, his dependents. لِيُنْفِقْ ذُو سَعْتٍ مِمَّا آتَاهُ اللَّهِ. Then, وَمَنْ قُدِرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقُهُ, those who were restrained in their provision. And in the Quranic terminology, قَدِرَ not necessarily is about power, it is restriction or making something narrow. So this narrowing the provision or restricting and minimizing the fate or the provision is something meant in فَظَنَّ أَلْنْ نَقْدِرْ عَلَيْهِ. So he did not think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not able to overcome him. Rather, he thought that he is free to do so, and by being such a thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to teach him a lesson. As-Sayyid al-Murtada, brother of Sharif al-Murtadi, the compiler of Nahj al-Balagha, has written a book called Tanzih al-Anbiya, in which he answers all these questions about the infallibility or the ayat, which might be understood as against the concept of isma. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to the right path. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.